This week's parsha is Parsha Ki Seitzei. Welcome to everybody on Torah Anytime. So now we have Parak Chav Beis Pasuk Yud. This pasuk, along with lots of other mitzvos that we have in this week's parsha, is dealing with something which is very strange. Kilayim. Lo sacharosh b'shor uvachamor yachdov. You can't plow with a shor, with a bull, and a chamor and a donkey together. Now, it certainly sounds like that the Isser of Kilayim is only it only applies by a bull and a donkey. Right? It sounds like it's that. It also sounds like that it's only a problem when plowing, when pulling two animals together to do some work in the field. So that's what it sounds like. It sounds like anything else that you would have to do with two other animals should be perfectly fine, would be allowed. And technically, it could be it's allowed min haTorah. But Targum Yonason says, based on the Gemara in Bava Kamma, this Gemara is in Bava Kamma, Nun Dal and Aleph, as well as the Sifri, that the bull and the donkey are lav dafka. It's not just a bull and a donkey, it's any two animals, any two different types of animals that work together in any way are going to be chayiv. You're going to be chayiv on this lav, and not just chayiv, you get malchus for this because it's a deal, right? So Rashi adds, even if you just tie the two together with a rope, and they're carrying a large package together, just doing that, that is kilayim min haTorah, even if it's not a shor and a chamor, any two animals, a dog and a cat, putting them together would be kilayim, and he'd be asur min haTorah to be able to do so, and malchus as well. Sifzeh Chamim asks, but how do you know that? The pasuk says bull and donkey, shor and chamor. And that makes sense. Shor and chamor were two pulling animals, working animals. How do you know it applies to every other animal in the Torah? So he answers, based again on the Gemara, there's a gezerah shava, shor, from the Aseret HaDibros. By the Aseret HaDibros, it says that you cannot allow your shor to work on Shabbos. You're not allowed to let your bull work on Shabbos. And because you're not allowed to let it work on Shabbos, we say that doesn't just apply to the shor. It applies to every animal. There's a limit over there for Shabbos. So just like over there, shor includes every animal, that none of your animals can work on Shabbos. So to over here, the word shor is lav dafka. It refers to every animal. And therefore, every animal is an issue when it comes to kilayim. It's really based on the Yerushalmi as well. The Yerushalmi and the Chizkuni quotes from the Yerushalmi, kilayim chazdalet. But the Sifzei Chachamim adds something awesome. He says, since the word shor and chamor are lav dafka, shor and chamor are lav dafka, because it really means any animal, so to the word lo sacharosh is lav dafka. Plowing, it's not just plowing. It's really any type of work. So why does it say plowing? Well, says Sifzei Chachamim, it seems like that's the most normal work. And the Torah Tumima says that's the normal thing that they used to do with two different types of animals. The normal thing they did is that they plowed with both animals together, but certainly any other malacha is forbidden, right? Just like the shor thing, the gzeirah shavah. It's a weird application of a gzeirah shavah. Isn't that a weird application? Gzeirah shavah says any animal, and we're applying it and saying, and so too any work. Dave, yeah.
Yeah, so are we talking about side to side,
in front, back, any type where they're tied together or working together in any which way,
so
would be a problem.
You can't have, let's say, two oxes and two horses or whatever in a pulley.
Correct. In a pulley, you wouldn't be able to have them two in any which way. So two horses, two oxen would be a problem. Right? That's going to be a problem no matter what. Right. So all of that would be part of this issur. And midioraisa, we're saying it's midioraisa. Now, a ksav kabbalah says that doesn't make any sense to him. That limud of learning from shor to be able to apply that to the different types of work, he says that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. He says there are three different words here that indicate different things. Bulls, shor, are usually used for plowing. So that's why it says shor. Chamor, what do you use a chamor for? What's a donkey normally used for? Carrying packages. So a chamor is used for carrying packages. And by the word yachdov means together, that means leading a wagon together. Those are three different types of work. Again, you're dealing with pulling something, that's the wagon, that's yachdov. You're dealing with plowing, working in the field, as well as the other one, which is the chamor, carrying a package. All three of those things would be usher. So then you got a problem. If all those three words indicate three different types of work, then why does it say lo sacharosh? It shouldn't say lo sacharosh. Say lo sasemelacha bishor v'chamor yachdov. Doesn't that make more sense? Don't do work with a shor and a chamor together. Why would he say lo sacharosh? So the ksav kabbalah gives a yesod. This yesod is, whenever there are multiple options mentioned in the pasuk always goes with the first of those options. The three words are shor, chamor, and yachdov. Shor is plowing, chamor is carrying, yachdov is bringing a wagon together. So therefore it starts off with lo sacharosh. That's how it starts off, because that's the first of the three. But really, it is Lav Dafka. It could be any of them. He gives a couple other ideas as well, but that's the idea behind it. An amazing, amazing idea. The Rambam says, it doesn't matter what they do, whether they plow, they pull, whatever it is, even if you yell at them, and they work together because you're yelling at them, you get Malkus for doing so. You're Potter for tying them together and doing no work with them, just tying them together. That's putter, but still could be usser if you're tying those two animals together, the two animals that are not the same, that are dissimilar from one another. Miam Lelays says something you got to watch out for when tying animals to a wagon. Sometimes you'll have a horse pulling a wagon or a cow pulling a wagon back in the day, and they'll tie a dog to the wagon as well. The dog isn't necessarily there to pull the wagon. The dog is just being tied to the wagon so it doesn't run away. That might be an issue of kilayim, because you're pulling with the horse and it's tied to a dog as well. So that's something that everyone has to be careful of. I don't know if they used to make hunting parties, if they had horses and dogs tied together in some way, but says to me, Amloes, be careful of that, because quite often they would tie the dog to the wagon and that was problematic. There were some major, major problems with that. That's how the Amloes says. So what's the reason for this mitzvah? Why do we tell you that you can't do it together? What's the reason for it? The Ibn Ezra and the Abarbanel says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachamim al komasav, rachamav al komasav. There's mercy on all of his creations. He knows the power of a donkey and the power of a shore are very different. A donkey is not as powerful as a bull, and therefore, if they would pull something together, the donkey would be straining too hard, and what would happen? The bull would take the brunt of the work, and the donkey would have a very, very hard time trying to keep up. That would be extremely, almost a pressure that they would have to go under. Says the Ibn Ezra and the Abarbanel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachamim on them. He doesn't want them working together. Doesn't want them working together in any which way. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, I don't like that answer. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, not a good enough answer. Because then the Isser is only going to apply by one big animal, one small animal. Let's say you have two animals that are of equal strength. You have two animals of equal strength. Then it should be perfectly fine to use them together. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that doesn't make any sense over there, but the Yerushalmi says it. He says, I'll go with it. But he says, to me, it doesn't make any sense. Number two, Das Zakenim, Paneach Razel, Moshe Zakenim, Chizkuni, Rosh, and Balaturim. All the Balei Tosfos say the following. The reason why this can't be done is because a bull chews its cud and a donkey does not. And when the donkey looks over at the bull, the cow, and sees that it has food, and it didn't get any food, because the cow keeps on regurgitating its food, keeps bringing its food back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. Since the donkey keeps seeing the cow, the bull, doing that, it gets pain from that. It says, oy vey, I didn't get fed, but my fellow animal got fed. It gets upset about that, because it looks like it's there, and therefore, we have rachamim on it, we don't want the donkey to feel bad, and therefore, we don't let them plow together. Is that unbelievable? What an unbelievable line. That's what he says. Not only that, the Moshe of Zakenim says the Chamor has elbone. You know what elbone is? Elbone is a shame. It feels shame when it feels like the cow is eating and it's not. That's absolutely crazy. It's a pella that we have such a thing by an animal, that we're worried about that by an animal. The Orchos Chaim, the Mincha Belula, the Sefer Achinuch, Reb Chaim Baltiel, and the Raza de Meir tries to prove from here, based on this reasoning over here, that Tsar Balei Chaim is Dilraisa. There's a big sugyam bav metzia. Tsar Balei Chaim, is it Dilraisa or Dorabanan? Can you give pain to an animal? Dilraisa or Dorabanan? From here we see Tsar Balei Chaim is Dilraisa. The Torah worries about the pain of a donkey. We see that Tzar Balei Chaim is an issue of Dilraisa. So you cannot give pain to an animal over there. The Gemara Bava Metzia goes over. Lamed Gimel Beis goes all over. They ask, why not bring a raya from over here? The Orchos Chaim talks about this. The Raman, Choshen Mishpat, Simin Rishayin Beis, they all bring it from over here. What an unbelievable reason, right? What's the problem with this reasoning? If you say it's because one chews its cud and one doesn't, then that means that the only Isser would be with two animals, one that's Tahor and one that's Tameh. But you, let's say you had a horse and a donkey. Could have a horse and donkey pulling together? Maybe, yeah. Why not? How about this? Does a camel chew its cud? Camels chew their cud, right? Can you have a camel and a cow plow together? They both chew their cud. If the issue is that one animal is going to see the other, then you could have a camel and a cow. You could have a camel and a cow. That's the second reason that's given. Third reason, the Rambam in Mori Nevuchim, the Bechor Shor, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, it's likely when you finish working with these animals, you know what you do? You take the animals, you lock them up in a corral together. You lock these animals up in a corral together, what's going to happen to the male and the female animals? They're going to be together, and you're going to be over on Merkava. You're going to be over on mixing them together. The real issue behind not working with animals is because you're going to come to breed them together with one another. So really, there's three forms of kilayim. There's shatness by clothing. There's kilei zrayim, seeds in the ground. And there's kilei behema of breeding them together. And included in breeding them is you can't work them together because working them together leads to breeding. That's the third answer that's given over. Strange. You ever seen an iser in the Torah? A lav midioraisa that's only a lav because of something else? It's almost like a durabana. You know what I'm saying? Like it's usur because it might lead to X. Where do you see a dioraisa based on something else that's going to be usur? It's strange, isn't it? Strange. That's number three. Number four, the chizkuni gives a weird answer. The shor is the king of all domestic animals. That's the shor. The chamor is a lowly animal. A lowly animal that doesn't have much to it. We don't want the king of the animals to be with such a bizayin, such a lowly animal, an animal that's almost worth nothing. For that reason, said Chizkuni, the zivug doesn't work out, so therefore we don't put them together. And according to this reason, according to the answer that we're saying over here, that means a shor and a chamor cannot be put together. A shor and a chamor cannot be put together in this way, but any other animals could be put together. Any other animals would be fine. So we see four reasons. All four of them are massively questionable. Rav Hirsch says the basic idea behind the entire mitzvah is to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge and does everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there no matter what, right? And we cannot just do whatever we want when we want to plow our field. You can't do it. Even in your work day. Even in your work day, you got to follow Shulchan Aruch. You got to follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. You can't just get up and do something on your own. No. When you're working, you follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an important lesson to learn, which many of us, unfortunately, sometimes forget. We're at our work, we forget that there's a Shulchan Aruch that we have to follow. This is the idea behind it. The Vilna Gaon once came to a Sudas Mitzvah. When he got to the Sudas Mitzvah, he saw there were two tables. Two tables were set. Wealthy Bali Batim were sitting at one of them, and then there were poorer people sitting at the other one. And he saw, the Vilna Gaon walks in, he was a little bit late. He saw they were serving the wealthy Bali Batim table. They were serving them food, and the Bali Batim were eating. And the people at the other table, the poor people at the other table, were not being served. So Vilna Gaon turned to the person who's in charge of the Sudas Mitzvah and he said, what's going on here? We said, well, you don't understand. We only have enough waiters for one table at a time. So we're serving them first and then we're serving the other table. We're going to serve them as soon as we finish with this table. So the Vilna Gaon said, that's an iser of this week's parsha, of this pasuk. Lo sachrosh b'shor b'chomer yachtov. Says the Vilna Gaon, why don't we allow lo sachrosh shor b'chomer yachtov? Why don't we allow them together? Because we don't want two animals working together, one animal eating, the other not, the other feels bad that it's not eating. So it applies over here as well. You don't think that those people feel bad that they're not eating when they're eating? Lo sachrosh b'shor b'chomer yachtov. You can't have them both together. Either you serve them together at the same time, or you don't serve anyone at all. You don't serve anyone at all. Obviously, within reason. Right? But the point was, serve everybody at that table, then move to that table, and then clear up and do everything you need to do. Don't just serve one table and do everything all at once. Brilliant, right? The Grud said that's the idea behind it. Yeah, Dave.
Would that apply also to, like, Shidduchim? Like, you shouldn't mix, like, a wealthy family with a poor family?
Nah, I don't think so. I understand what you're trying to say, but obviously that's, you know, a Zivug Hagun.
Kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, when it comes to Zivugin, obviously there's differences. But yes, the idea is not to have it. I will tell you, we're going to see later on that there's actual issues in Shidduchim in business partners that might be learned from this week's parsha. The actual issues of who you're partnering with may be over on a lav of Lo Sachrosh B'shor B'chomer Yachtov. That's actually brought down over here. There may be a difference between these answers over here. The Rambam in Hilchos Kilayim, Perek Tes Halacha Zayin says, you get Malkus if one of the animals is Tahor and one of the animals is Tameh. Meaning, kosher animal and a not kosher animal, then you're over on Kilayim. That's what the Rambam says. Guys, that doesn't make any sense. We just said shor and chamor yachtov is any animal. It's any animal, right? Can you use a horse with a donkey? No. So right now, what are we saying? We're saying, no, it's only usur with a shor and a chamor. Says the Rambam, that's the iser d'oraisa. The iser d'oraisa is a tameh and a Torah animal altogether. Everybody asks, where does the Rambam get that from? That's not in the Gemara. The Yushalmi doesn't talk about that. Where does it say that it has to be a kosher and a not kosher animal, that the Rambam says that you need a kosher and a not kosher animal? You know, the Bala Turin brings this as well. But where does the Rambam get this from over here? And say, almost like two tummy animals, only an Isser Drabanan. Isser Drabanan, you get Makas Mardus. What's the pshat behind it? So the Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk, the Or Sameach, says it would make sense if you go with the Rishonim up above. The Rishonim says one chews its cud and one doesn't. If that's the reasoning, if that's the real pshat behind the pasuk, then you need to have a kosher animal and not a kosher animal. But again, guys, we had a kash on that. Okay? That makes sense, right? Because one chews its cud, one doesn't. What about a camel? Is a camel kosher? No, it's tame, right? And a cow is tahor, right? The camel, but they both chew their cud. The reasoning wouldn't apply, though, because what's the reasoning? One chews its cud and one doesn't. But the camel and the cow both chew their cud. So the reasoning doesn't apply, and yet it's still tame and tahor. He says that doesn't make any sense. Aside from that, there is a Gemara. The Meshech Chochma says, number one, the Rambam himself in Mori Nevuchim gave a different answer. Remember what the Mori Nevuchim said? He said the whole Isser is because it leads to Harkava, leads to breeding. So that already knocks it off. And aside from that, the Gemara clearly goes through, the Sifri, I should say, goes through and says, how do we know it's usher to have a donkey working with a mule? Where does a mule come from? Where does a mule come from? A donkey and a horse. So the Gemara goes into and says, how do I know that it's usher to have a donkey with a horse? A donkey with a mule. How do I know that that's usher? If you need a tameh and a tar animal, is a donkey tar? Is a mule tar? So what's the question? It's not usher midi oraisa anyway. And the Gemara brings a pasuk to tell you it's usher midi oraisa. Maybe it's usher midi rabbanan, but the Gemara brings a pasuk to tell you it's usher midi oraisa. That seems to knock out that idea of the Meshech Chochma. So what is the answer behind it? It's strange. It's a very, very strange thing. The Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a whole piece on it in Emes Liakov. I'm not sure I fully understand it. He goes into Adam and why Adam is mentioned as well. You should know that an animal working with a person is not an issue of Kilayim. He goes into it. I would look up the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Emes Liakov over here. It's a beautiful Emes Liakov. I have it down in the sheet if you want to look it up, but it's a little complicated to go through right now, so I'm not going to go through it. The Torah Tamima says the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch argue on the Rambam. It's clear in the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch that it's usher to have any two tummy animals or any two tahor animals. It's usher to have anything medioraisa. Medioraisa, it's not just durabanan, it is usher medioraisa itself. Okay, another halacha. Another halacha that we all know of, guys, is that you're not allowed to ride in a wagon being pulled by two different animals. There's a famous maisa that's brought down in the Shem HaGdolim of the Chidah, and it's also brought in the Mordechai at the end of the first parak of Erevin. This is the way the story goes. They both say the following idea. This idea comes down. The Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, was well known for always keeping his eyes down to the ground. The praise of the Rashbam is that he never looked outside of his Dalet Amos, outside of four Amos around him. Why didn't he look outside of the Dalet Amos? He was afraid of seeing something improper. You should know, by the way, that Rashi was also well known for that. That Shmiras Einayim by Rashi was a very important thing, that he made sure not to see anything that was improper. The Rashbam continued that tradition. His grandson never looked at anything improper, never put his eyes outside of the four Amos around and the four Amos that were right there. So the story goes like this. The Rashbam was one time with his brother, the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam's real name was Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov was there together with the Rashbam. They were going together on a certain trip. The Rashbam was a very poor person. Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Yaakov, was a very wealthy person. The Rabbeinu Tam hired a wagon to take them. The wagon got there, pulled up in front of the house. The Rashbam walked out of the house toward the wagon, was about to climb up the wagon. The Rabbeinu Tam told him, wait, Shmuel, don't go up. He said, look at the animals. Look at the front of the wagon. The wagon was being pulled by two different animals. I don't know what it was, if it was a cow and a horse or a donkey, and I don't know what it was, but it was being pulled by two different animals. So the Rabbeinu Tam said to the Rashbam, do you see what happens when you don't look up? Do you see what happens when you don't look up? You could have been over on the Isser of Kilayim. You realize you could have been over on the Isser of Kilayim. Supposedly the Rashbam answered back, no. Anytime that would happen, Hashem will make sure someone like you is there to tell me it's wrong. So I don't have to worry. Kadosh Baruch Hu will send somebody else to make sure that I don't do anything that's also. That's what the Rashbam answered to the Rabbeinu Tam. In the Ghost Mordechai, it doesn't bring down that answer, right? But it does say that Rashbam did it, that he almost did it, etc. Okay, now we get into the Ramazan. We get into the other ideas that are brought down over here. Now, that was the Pashit idea of what Shor v'chamor yachtav the Ken of Kilayim. The Shach, Al HaTorah, says, this is a remez not to speak about Mashiach at all. There's two Mashiachim, as we all know, right? There's Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben David. There's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. We all know Mashiach ben Yosef. Guys, what's the sign of Yosef, of the Shvatim? What's the animal that represents Yosef at Tzadik? The shore, the ox, right? What does Mashiach ride in on? La'asid lavo, on a donkey. He says the shor and the chamor, lo sacharosh, is the lashon of marchishin sfase, moving of the lips. Lo sacharosh is don't speak of shor v'chamor, the Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, yachtov, both of them going around. This idea is in Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin tzadi zayin amud aleph, the chachamim used to say, b'matusiminaihu, I beg of you, lo tirchak nuha, don't push it farther away. When you speak about Mashiach, when you see, and you see like, oh, now he's coming, now Mashiach is coming, that pushes him farther away. Mashiach comes with hesech hadas, says the Gemara. When you don't think of it, all of a sudden Mashiach will be here. Says the Gemara, that's hinted to in our pasuk, lo sachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachtov. Now, let me explain. That does not mean we shouldn't hope for Mashiach. That does not mean we don't daven for Mashiach. Every single day, in our Shmoneh Esrei, we should daven for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, for Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehiras Atzmiach. The Tzemach David is referring to Mashiach to be able to come. There is no question we should daven for it. But the idea is to say we can live our lives and do mitzvahs and do everything we need to do. We're not just sitting there waiting for God to save us all. There was a person who used to tell me all the time, I'm just waiting for Mashiach. So finally I was like, that's amazing. That's an amazing, amazing meetup. And he told me, it's because my life stinks. And I was like, life is awesome. We just had this conversation. Life is absolutely awesome. It's awesome. I don't know what you're talking about. But this idea of, don't worry, when Mashiach comes, everything's going to be better. That's not what Mashiach is all about. Mashiach is not about hoping that Mashiach comes to save me out of it. He's not that type of savior. That's not what it's going to be. It's going to be a different world and it'll be awesome. It's more awesomeness than what we have, but don't expect everything to just be like, there you go, everything's going to be fine when Mashiach comes. That's not what Mashiach is all about. And that's part of this idea of trying to go it through. And that's what it means. Don't plow with two different animals. That's not good for anyone. Don't get involved in the two Mashiachim and try to assume how it's going to happen or what's going to happen over here. The Bala Turim, and this is what I was telling you before about business. Bala Turim says, the tummy and the Torah animal mentioned over here is a remez. Don't join together a tzaddik and a rasha. Now, simply put, that means in business. Don't meet up with a rasha, a guy who's into stealing and cheating and doing everything. You're not a person who should involve yourself with stuff like that. But there's more to it than just that. You mentioned shiduchim before, Dave, right? When you mentioned shiduchim, this is part of this as well. Don't get involved in a shidduch that's not for you. Lo sachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachtov is, sometimes, a shor does not go well with a chamor. The tahor animal, whatever you are, whether you're the boy or the girl, whichever one it is, doesn't do well with the chamor. Whether you want to call that the guy or the girl. The guy or the girl. The chamor is something that's not there. And that's why it's important to find yourself the right shidduch. Can things work? Of course things can work. You work on things. But that's the lo sachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachtov. In Sanhedrin Samach Gimel Abayis, it says that a Jew should not enter into a partnership with Ovdei Avodah Zarah. As a side note, that does not mean do not enter into a partnership with Goyim. That's not what it says. First of all, anybody who owns a nursing home would have a problem with that, right? There's always a partnership involved where you give something over to a non-Jew so that you can have things work on Shabbos. Anybody who owns anything that works on Shabbos that's there, you have some type of a heter iska that allows you to have some non-Jew that's with you. That's not the issue over here. The issue is don't get involved with Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Ovdei Avodah Zarah are people that you cannot trust at all. A typical non-Jew you can trust. A typical Oved Avodah Zarah is untrustworthy. He has no real God that he's afraid of. There's nothing really there for him. That's a problem. There's a real trust issue. And maybe that's even an Isser D'oraisa, although the Ran paskins that it's only an Isser Midrabanan. But that idea, the Bala Turim is saying from right over here, a tzaddik, don't get involved with a Rasha. Don't get involved in any way with a Rasha. Sefer HaChinuch in mitzvah number 550 says, this tells us, two people that are very different should not be given one job. They shouldn't be appointed together to do a job. Quite often, you might hear, like maybe there's a dinner, so they have dinner chairman, right? So they make dinner chairman. Dinner chairman, making dinner chairman is not an easy job. You need to make a shidduch between the two. The last thing you want is one guy doing all the work while the other guy taking credit for all the work by sitting there and saying, oh yeah, I was there as well. I did everything as well. Because all that leads is to animosity between one and the other where each one says, I can't believe you did this. What in the world? That's the last thing you want. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, don't let two people work together if you know it's not going to work out. Don't have the shor v'chamor work together in some way. And maybe you could think of something else. When it comes to working together, together in a shul, when it comes to working together in business, you're a boss, you're setting up two people together, you know they don't like each other, don't put them together. That's a bad move. You put them together, you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen. That's not a good move. That's not good for anybody. Make sure that it's a good shidduch. And the Tzror Hamor says this refers to us staying away from other people in the world that are not matim for us to stay close to. That doesn't mean you can't treat non-Jews nicely. That just means you want to be neighbors, you can be neighbors. You want to be, is the right word, friends? You could probably be friends. You want to be best friends? You want that guy to be your best friend? Be careful. Be very careful. There are issues with that. There's a reason why there are issues with those types of things, because it has not ended well historically for us. Not ended well historically, and that's that. The idea is the Am Adom LeChamor, the Esav, which is the shore of Tuma. Those things get involved. This series of Psukim and Parsho says the Tzor Hamor are all about us being able to be our own nation without having to rely on the other nations for help, to be ourselves without them. Kilayim is forbidden, he says. And Kilayim, mixing them together, can be horrible for us. Can be absolutely horrible for us. So a person should be extremely careful. So we have three levels here. I want to make sure that we have these three levels. We have level number one, that the remez is not to join in together with an Oved Avodah Zarah. That's the first level. You can't trust an Oved Avodah Zarah. That's our first level over there. Sefer HaChinuch says that not only applies to a partnership, whether it comes to marriage or it comes to business, etc. It's also involved with people that are different from one another, should not be partnered up to be able to do a job together. And finally, the Torah more says, us, the nation of Israel, staying away from the nations of the world, keeping to ourselves to allow us to have whatever we're supposed to have over here. That's that. The Mayana Shel Torah, the Noam Elimelech, and the Arugas Abosem all say the same basic idea on this pasuk. Shor stands for Ashurenu. I see it in the future in Parshas Balak. Seeing above and looking for awesome things. That's Ashurenu. Chamor is Chumrius, the physicality of the world. And here's what he says. Don't try to get involved in learning if you're filled with Gashmias. Filling yourself with Gashmias and then expecting yourself to climb to the highest of heights of Ruchnias is not going to happen. When you're stuck in the mire of what Chumrius has to give us, how in the world are you supposed to think properly? I used to make fun of it. There were guys that used to come to yeshiva, Beis Medrash guys, used to come to yeshiva. They'd walk in with a Dunkin' Donuts bag, right? And a huge coffee. And then they'd sit down in their chair, leaning back, like leaning all the way back with their feet up on a chair around there, put the coffee down, and like take nibbles of their donut as they're learning Gemara. And I walked over to them and I'd just be like, You look like you need like a couch, a hammock, and like a guy like spanning you and a pina colada in your hand on a beach. And he's like, that would be awesome. And I'm like, I hear you. That's not how you learn. There is no way you're going to be able to learn that way. Like, I hear you. You can read a book that way. You can read a book. But that's not how you learn. You can't learn that way. There's no way. There's ways of learning. There are ways of being able to get there and to really delve into a sugya, which these guys were trying to do. This is an Ian sugya that you're trying to get in the morning. There's no way you could do it. Sitting there with all the comforts wherever you are. It's one of the reasons why I always assumed that all yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael have those wooden benches that are the hardest benches of all time. I don't even know how you can get wood that hard. Petrify the wood and make it even harder. You think after people are sitting on it for so long, the wood would soften in a way. But no, somehow it becomes harder. I have no idea how it becomes harder. But I always assume that's why. There's no comfort. It's not how you're supposed to learn. Oh, you're uncomfortable? So stand up. Even better. What did they say about, I think it was Rechaim Shmulevitz, who used to have a shtender that was so high. He was a smaller guy, but he had a shtender that was so high, so he could reach on his tippy toes to be able to read, so he wouldn't fall asleep while he was learning, because he was so dead tired, because he slept for 2 hours a night, 3 hours a night. That's what he used to do to be able to go through there. He used to pull up his beard, to tie it to something, to be able to keep himself up. That's how you learn Torah, with your beard tied to a shtender on your tippy toes, trying to figure out, because you're exhausted because you spent the last 20 hours trying to figure out a sugya. That's how you go ahead and do it. It's impossible otherwise. So what they all say, you want to plow, and the idea behind the plowing is getting into a sugya. You want to be a shore. You want to be a shore that's goring and knocking down sugyas and understanding and trying to get through, or a chamor that's sitting there with a burden on its back. The shore stands for Iyun, and the chamor stands for Bekiyas. But you can't do it when you're a shore looking at something ruchnis when you got chumrius on your back, when you're sitting involved in the day-to-day dregs of what chumrius and physicality has in mind. You just can't do it. It's impossible. There's no way to be able to do it. The Noam HaLimelech says to clean our souls, so to speak, to get ourselves involved in real limud. It's difficult. It's really difficult. The idea is you're supposed to stand there and get yourself ready for everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu can give you and work on it to make sure it's there. It's interesting. The Aruga Sabosim says the following. I didn't know this. Shor and Chamor, the middle letters of Shor and Chamor are a Vav of Shor. Chamor is Mem Vav. Mem Vav Vav is Gematria 52, which is a Kelev. There is a Shor of Tuma, as we said, that's Esav. There is a Chamor of Tuma, as we said, that was Yishmael, Amadom Elachamor. And then there's the Kelev, the dog, which is supposed to represent powers of Tuma. Powers of Tuma. You take the first three letters of Shor, Chamor, and Kelev, and it's Choshech. Ches, Shin, Chav. It's Choshech, the darkness there. Says the Aruga Sabosim, if you're not careful with how you use your chumrius, with how you use your physicality, the gashmis that we have in this world, the awesome gashmis, the gashmis that all of us need in some way, shape, or form, if you're not careful, the result is choshech. All you see is darkness. You can't find the light. It's a great, great Aruga Sabosim. Really a tremendous idea. The truth is, it's the first Aruga Sabosim that I've seen in the last 6 weeks. I've been trying to use the Aruga Sabosim, and I haven't been able to get it. This is an unbelievable line that's there. But the Chassam Sofer says, well, give me 1 second, Paul. The Chassam Sofer says, in Brachos, Nun Vavam Abeis, if you see an axe goring something in a dream, does anybody know what that means? You see an axe goring something in a dream. You're watching in your dream you see that shore goring something. It could even be goring you. If you see an axe goring something, you will have children who learn Torah properly. That's a guarantee. That's what the dream means. Has anybody ever seen that dream? Anybody? Oh, I did. Yeah. What? Anybody else? Anybody see that? Oh, no. My dad did. Isn't that what you're supposed to say? My father did, right? No.
What was it called? Bunyan had the blue ox?
Babe. Yeah, the blue ox was Babe. From Paul Bunyan? Yeah, I don't think that's what we're talking about. I'm not positive. I don't think there's such a thing as blue oxen. I'm not positive. Right, red. Red is okay. Blue. Genetics. I guess you can get it through. That means that a shor stands for Iyuna Torah, as we said before, and one's thought process in Torah. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's why a shor allows you to have Talmid Chachamim as children. Such a thought process, it says, cannot coexist when you're steeped in Taivis. It's simply impossible to think the way you can once you go ahead and you're involved with all the Taivis in the world. And that's why he says to work it around. He doesn't say Lo Sachrosh. Lo Sachrosh is in the word of don't deal with. A shor and a chamor yachtov. Don't deal with both of those together. What are you going to say, Paul? What are you going to say?
Well, you say that going back to the Aruga
Sabosim. Yeah, the Aruga Sabosim.
What you're saying that you have all these things, you're choshech.
Choshech, yeah.
Right, well, Rav Melech was in choshech.
What do you mean?
He always, most of his life, he's always in darkness.
You'd have to tell me. The wording that I would use is the actual wording of a pasuk that he says in Tehillim. I was surrounded by darkness, but I found the light. It's a word that he uses over there. I forgot what it is. Yisilveni Choshech, something or. I don't have the line on me. But although there was darkness around David Melech, in other words, the bad things that were happening around him, Avi Melech, as well as obviously Uriah Chiti and Bathsheba, as well as just Shaul HaMelech, right, for those years of his life, not being chosen, with what happened with Avner and then Amasa and everybody else that was around, right, there were some bad things that happened in his life. Nonetheless, David Melech's point is, even through the Choshech, I saw the Or. Because he was never steeped in Taiva like he could have been, being the king of Klal Yisrael and how much he could have had for himself. He was never steeped in Taiva, and that way, he always was that tzaddik that you never expected to be that awesome tzaddik. That's what he ended up doing. I think that's the opposite idea over there. Okay, we're going to end with this, guys. We have one last Chassam Sofer. The truth is, the Chassam Sofer is not really going on this type of climb as he is the Harva issue. Not on the working two animals together, but breeding them together. He says, there's a Yerushalmi and Kilayim, right, where the Gemara wants to forbid using a mule, right, since it's born from an Isser. How do you make a mule? The only way to make a mule is when you have a horse and a donkey together. Now, technically, mules are sterile. But the truth is that about 15% of mules are not sterile. Some mules have the ability. How can you tell the difference between, if it was the horse father or the donkey father? It goes by the ears. If the ears of the mule are a little bit longer, then it's a donkey. if the father was a donkey. If the ears of the mule are shorter than the father was a horse. Usually that's the way you're supposed to be able to figure it out. I don't know if it's dafka, if that's all 100% of the time, but that's the way you're supposed to figure it out. But mules are not always sterile. But most of the time, how do you make a mule? You make a mule by mixing a horse and donkey together. So it's an isser of kilayim. So the Yushalmi wants to say, never use a mule. Never use a mule, because look, mules are made from isser. They're made from a breed which is absolutely usser. That's what the suggestion is. Right? You get the idea?
Yeah. Okay, but they say mules are the best of all.
Well, I agree. And aside from that, obviously included in that is maybe we should usser all breeds of fruits that are kilayim. Right? And that would be a problem also. Most of our breeds of fruits are forms of kilayim. We matter all of them. We don't do them. We can't make them. But if they're there, you're allowed to eat them. There's no problem with that. Give me a plum, right? A plum is a classic combination of two different fruits. Grapefruits, right? There are some, I'm sorry, tangerines. There are some obvious ones out there, right, that are pure kilayim, but we don't asser them. So the Gemara wants to asser it. And the Gemara says you can't. You can't asser a mule. Why not? Because David HaMelech ask for Shlomo HaMelech to be brought to him and anointed ala pirda asher li, on my mule. On my mule. That's what he said. So it must be that a mule is not usher. Because David HaMelech wouldn't have said, take my mule and ride Shlomo HaMelech on it if it was usher to use. It must be that it's mutter. That's how the Yerushalmi concludes. There's other ideas brought up in the Yerushalmi, but that's one thing. So the Chassam Sofer asks, why is a mule, the horse, the donkey, the combination that David HaMelech wanted for his son Shlomo? Why is a mule being used over here? So he says, the Chassam Sofer says, we all know, how did David HaMelech sleep at night? Does anybody, well, I should say, the Gemara in Brachos, David HaMelech slept like a horse. Shisin Nishmi, 60 breaths. Horses don't sleep very much. David HaMelech didn't sleep very much. He used to sleep, you know, like the little head bob thing. Sleep a little, then sleep a little, but never like fully ensconced in sleep. Never did that. And then he got up in the middle of the night to be moded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Brachos says that at Alos HaShachar, Bnei Yisrael came in, Sanhedrin would come in. They'd say to David HaMelech, there's not enough parnasa for Klal Yisrael. David, what should we do? And David would tell them, okay, go and fight another nation and go get money and bring it back. Which is unbelievable, right? Absolutely unbelievable. What a Gemara. What's the Gemara trying to tell us? The Gemara is going through how great David HaMelech is that every night he got up at Chatzos Laila, he got up in the middle of the night to learn Torah, all the way up until morning. And then when morning hits, the Chacham came to him and said, what do we do about parnasa? Something's weird here. Well, what's going on over here? What does that mean? So clearly it's a melitza to something else. It's a mushel to be able to understand something else. David used to learn all night long and he sang songs and praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only sleeping a bit like a horse. But during the day he was a donkey. What do I mean he was a donkey? He shouldered the burden of Klal Yisrael. Whatever they needed in Parnassa, David HaMelech took upon himself. At night he was a horse and during the day he was a donkey. That combination is, he's a mule. See, there's a good mule. If you do it properly, you're a horse at night, you sleep what you need to sleep, and you finish off your learning, whatever you need to do, and you work like a donkey during the day. Everybody get the idea? Horse and donkey. But there are other kings of the nations of the world who are also mules. But it's the opposite. They're donkeys at night. They sleep like donkeys at night. Donkeys are lazy animals. Lazy animals. They don't want to work hard. So they're very, very willing. Every single donkey, they're lazy, and they sit there, and they will not move unless you make them move. At night, these kings are donkeys. During the day, they're like horses, running around doing whatever they want to do. That's the other mule, doing the opposite of what you're supposed to do. Said David HaMelech, ride Shlomo HaMelech ala pirda asher li. Give him my mule. Tell him how to be like me. How you be a horse at night and a donkey during the day. That's the way to be able to be. Not for bad, but for good. And that's why in Perek Shira, the mule says, Yoducha Hashem kol malchei aretz. Every king in the world is a mule. Every king is a mule. Bad kings are horses during the day and donkeys at night. Good kings our horses at night and donkeys during the day, but every single one is a mule. And that's what David HaMelech was asking. It's a really great idea. So we went through, guys, the idea of what it means, this idea of Kilayim, the four reasons behind it, perhaps the answer for the Rambam, as to why the Rambam says that it only works by a tummy and a Torah creature. And we gave four different Ramazim of what this could also mean over here, what the Shor and the Chamor Yachtov could possibly mean. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.